We are talking with Mr. and Mrs. George Nelson of Stockholm. Mrs. Nelson, would you tell us, were you born in Stockholm?
No, I was born over in Canada, about 20 miles below Woodstock, a town called Melbourne.
How did you happen to come to Stockholm?
Well, my mother and father came to Stockholm. They came when the railroad went north from Caribou. And then, just before I was born, my mother went back to Canada because the nearest doctor was in Caribou. And then she came back I wasn't a year old when she came back. I guess I was about 4 or 5 months when she came back over here.
So you grew up here in Stockholm?
Yes, right.
And Mr. Nelson, were you born in Stockholm?
I was born in Sweden.
Well, your parents were from the old country?
They were.
What, do you know when they came?
During the First World War, and after he came back, you see his folks, his father, his mother died just before he went in the service.
My mother died in 1950.
And then his father bought his house here and moved to Stockholm. So that's how I
And you were married and lived all your lives down here in Stockholm?
Right.
You are part of a segment of Stockholm that they don't speak much about, the English people. You said they all came with the railroads. About how many families might there have been?
There must have been. You said there was the early ones. Well, there was my grandfather and my two uncles came, and my father. And then there was this station agent, Tompkins. Then there was a Fred Gaines. He was the first section foreman here. And then he wasn't here very long. And my uncle, James Crawford, became a section foreman. And of course, after that, there was a lot of people. Most of them lived on the station street. There was Louis Johnson's, and then the Harry Dixon's. Of course, these all came afterwards, perhaps 12 years afterwards.
When did the railroad come through?
Well, I think about 1898, was it?
Yeah, just
about. I think so. I wouldn't say for sure, but I think
And that's when your family first came.
Yes.
A lot of these English names are still around Stockholm now.
Yes. Well, some of them, but there are not too many left here. There
no
people. The Dixons.
Yes.
Very few.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, it's the...
The railroad people, I mean.
The Gessner. Yeah. Well, there's two of the Gessner families still here. Yes.
Well, now, when you were growing up, your father worked for the railroad.
Yeah.
And you were, did your mother work? How large your family?
We were five. Well, you went half eight. No, we were six. I had six of them.
But now, it was your mother who ran the boarding house.
Yes.
Now, where was the boarding house?
Well, it was right on the river there, right, and the long lumber mill was right below the boarding house. And then there was the company store at Burring. Do you remember that?
I don't. No, I don't remember.
Well, that Burring about 4 years, two, 3 years ago. And she
it was a potato house.
It was a potato house,
and then it burned. Mm-hmm. And the boarding house was right across from the Hope Leeds. place. The potato house.
Now it was the potato house.
Yeah.
But at one time, that was really quite a...
First my mother kept boarders up in that, that house just up along Lake Street. Louis Anderson built that building, and she kept boarders there.
Did she have very many at that time?
Well, she had 65 there at one time.
Oh, my.
And they roomed up in Louis Anderson's house, because it sits, you know, up just above Wolverine's there. Well, that's where they roomed. And then then they built the boarding house, and so then she took that over.
How many in the boarding house? Did you tell me how many it is? Well,
1 year there, they brought a crew up from Owl Falls and had a night shift working there. This long lumber mill, the Stockholm Lumber Company, was one of the largest mills on the East Coast, and they had a night shift on, and there was about 165 workers there.
How much help would anyone, would she need to have?
Well, she had that year, she had a man cook that helped her. A man came in and helped her. And besides that, they had three girls that done the chamber work, and she was working on
that. She and this cook did all the cooking?
Right.
But did all the buying, that the buying?
That's right.
Must have been a... Did you work in it yourself?
I wasn't old enough then to work. Yeah, you know, I wasn't out of school, you know, just early years. But later on, after I got older, I was a
little older.
Well, she must have been to have taken care of that man if he was. And I'm sure they fed very well.
Always.
Yeah. Do you remember how much it cost them?
I haven't any idea.
And what anyone
can I can remember that the boarders paid $2 a week for their board.
$3?
$3 a week for their board. But you know, Doreen, that was, according to the wages they got then.
I suppose. It seems like so little.
I know, it's when you say $3 a week.
Yeah. And she also gave them their room.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And then they had a building that they took over. There was a Roland University used to live there in this red house behind the company store. You remember that? Well, they took that over, and the men roomed over there too. They put beds in there, and the men slept over there too.
Back to the cooking end, but it seemed you must have had to start cooking for one meal as soon as you paired up for lunch.
And besides that, she used to have the railroad crews in the summertime, you know, the work crews used to come there. And sometimes she'd have between 25 and 30 of them.
More than that.
And then put up lunches for them at night.
1921, the latest deal from Cape to Lembiona was for the section, and Dave Grant was in the corner at that time. And she put up quarter lunches.
Night.
Did Stockholm have any hotels?
Oh yes, there was the Merrill Hotel, and then Mrs. Wessel used to take in there. And Mrs. Wessel used to give all the give meals too. She didn't room them, but she.
They say hotel. What would be the difference between a boarding house and a hotel?
Well, I don't know.
It really wasn't much,
was there?
No,
well, the hotel was more up to date.
Well, maybe, yes.
Well,
they, perhaps they catered mostly the transients, you know.
Yes, so these were the workers.
These were the workers.
Yes.
Yes, and a lot of travel people. They always traveled up and down. Their stays still went at the...
And then besides that, there was other boarding houses. There was the McGuire's and boarding house up on the hill there.
Could you remember even a sample of what they might have had in the day's menu?
Oh, I can't remember. What would they give them for breakfast, for instance? Oh my goodness, mother used to have meatballs for breakfast. Perhaps beans for mornings. Real hearty food.
She had to be.
They were all hard workers at
once. Yes.
Well, they didn't have all their lunch. They probably had really two
meals. A dinner?
Yes.
Yes, they did it, huh?
They were happy. Now, George, you, when did you come to Stockholm?
I came to Stockholm in 1918. My father moved here in 1970, but I went to the service in 1980.
And how long did you serve?
Just 4 months, that was all. Last week.
What effect was you were young? Maybe you wouldn't remember the effect that World War I had on Stockholm. Did it have any great effect?
Well, I was 22 years old.
Well, yeah, that's quite young.
I don't know.
Is there any noticeable effect, you think, on the town?
I don't know of any noticeable effect of the war, but it was the influenza epidemic. I think that had the biggest effect on Stockholm.
When was that?
That was in the fall.
1980.
Yeah. Yes, fall.
I had it,
that
was
disturbing. Yeah. I think that had so many women died in Stockholm.
Any idea, were there any figures on how many Stockholm lost in an
epidemic? I don't know. Any figures kept in mind?
There was no men folks died.
Yes, one of our board members was there any doctor here then?
Well, the state sent up a doctor from Bretterford to Bangor. The state sent him up here. I don't think he was here more than 2 weeks then. That was one doctor he had. Of course, then the doctors would go out, you know, on a house call. And they did come up from Caribou.
There was another doctor came on at that time. Because when Evelyn was born, there was a doctor living in town here. I know that. My father hauled him up to all the time. Johnson, something like that.
But during the influenza epidemic, they just had the one that they sent out. You took care of everyone who was there?
They didn't have enough dogs to go around.
They could just bear him for 2 weeks, they said, and then that's what he came up here for.
And the rest of the nursing people, the healthy ones had to go up there? But people who were ill, were they just kept in their own homes? That's true.
Well, I watched it, they had a big barracks. There was 80 of us in the barracks. One doctor and two carpets. That's all there was to carry.
You had it?
I have about a couple of
years
in the
wind.
Right out. You were sick with that stuff.
Yeah.
You were really sick.
Right.
Oh.
Well, then when you came back after the war, you came back to Stockholm.
Back to Stockholm.
Were you married then? When were you married?
Oh, my God.
1924.
And brought your family up here. And how many children did you have?
Seven.
And your children all grew up here, went to school here. Which school would they have gone to? Or different ones?
Well, the boys, the two older boys, they went to Caribou High School after they finished. We used to have 2-year high school here. And then after they finished high school, they went to Caribou. And then our oldest daughter, she went down to Old Town State. My sister went to school down there. And then Edith and Wanda, they went to Richmond. And Neil and Dana went to work.
But they all had their grade school.
Right, yeah.
And do you remember any of the teachers? Was there anyone who was here for a long time?
Of course, Ethel Wilson, she was here for a long time. Yes. And Ellen Pearson was our first high school teacher. When they first started the high school. And,
do you have any idea what they might have gotten for salary in those days?
This is my
latitude
as a student.
Yes, she was.
The Hicks, from Sweden, taught here.
Yes. And then, of course, among the earlier teachers, in 1915, there was a Margaret Mahaney, she was from Easton.
Did any of them stay very long with these young people fresh out of school?
Well, some of them did. Now, Minor Walter from Caribou, she taught out there for a number of years. And then there was an Ethel Thomas. She was a daughter of Dr. Thomas. She taught here for a number of years.
Well, now, at one time, Stockholm was really quite a thriving place, wasn't it?
I think perhaps from the 1920s on there for a few years. I think that perhaps was when Stockholm was at its peak.
And that was because of the mills.
That's right.
Ruskin taught school there in 1940.
Yes.
Did you ever work in the mill?
No, we just repair work.
Yeah. You were a carpenter. Where did you learn your trade?
Well, I tell you, with a home on the farm, we built a home other night. All by ourselves, that's where I started in. And I guess it's right in my blood anyway. So I come up here and I started to do that. And that's what I've been doing.
Are there many places around town that you build?
Mostly Prescott.
You've
got the Sears Roebuck store and the high school and so many different buildings. And so we started every one of the boys out with me. They were to work with them when they got to be 16. We took them in and taught them how to do carpenter work.
Now that.
But then none of them became carpenters.
Well,
but they know how to do it.
They
do their own homes, whatever they want done, they do their own.
This is all right here. He's a cracker. No carpenter would get right in the blood. He used to do that for
But he's not a carpenter.
He works at Soil Conservation.
I tell you, I never did care for him. My voice to be a
really? You wouldn't want
to? No. It's better if you send a kid to school, high school and college, I don't see what you'd love to have.
That's right.
Well, Hazen, the oldest one, is an engineer for Sloan Webster in Boston. And just recently he got a patent on something. It's been pending since 1969. He just got it here about a month ago. Oh. He sent us up a copy of it. He's in this desalting of the seawater. Now they're going to build a big plant in Formosa. And he's working on that now on the blueprints for that.
That's what you're talking about.
Yes,
back to the mill. Now, I know when the mill moved out, it was about the time of the Depression. And that must have been an awful blow in Stockholm.
Well, I think it was.
But
never
get over it.
No, that. And I tell you, they had so many people that stayed here, you know. A lot of them went home with the mill. But there was a number stayed here, and of course, you know how it is, they didn't have any means of living, and of course the town had to take care of them. But then they got a town manager in here, and he got them to work, and they didn't like that, so a lot of them moved away then.
But at that time, were so bad.
They were.
There was no money to help these people.
No, that's it. Well, you couldn't buy a job.
We were poor, so was your father, but I know very well we never had no time helping you, of course. Yeah. I know that. Yeah. We're fat.
We were all in the same boat.
I guess if we had been a stop and sleep, no doubt we would have had something. But we just didn't stand for that. That was it.
That's true. That is, well, you know, in the, when Mr. Thomas handpicked his weeds to come over, that was one of the qualities he was looking for. Hard working and industrial. And it's true.
Well, sometimes it doesn't pay to be stuck.
Well, I don't know. You had to swallow your pride.
Well, yeah, it was a question of pride.
Do you remember when the fire tower was built?
1920.
And what, they used that as a lookout? Just for forest fires or?
Yes, and as it said in the book there, during the Depression, they used it for, they manned it day and night for the air raid. Is that what it said? Yeah, I remember that too.
Were there, did Stockholm have any bad fires?
Yes. You mean forest fire?
Well, either kind.
But yes, up for the rock cut up here every spring we had a forest fire up there.
Forest fire, very much. Every year, seems
like. Yes, every year. You can go up there now and look out over the hills and you can just see spots where the fire had gone through.
You know, one Sunday, where it was a real hot day, I can't remember how far it was, 27, 28. There was a fire that started up to what is called a rock cut. It came down to the wind, it was the north wind that was coming down through down here. Then we all round up a bunch of men and horses and barrels and everything and all water in the river and up there to stay in the houses. It was a close call that night.
Yes,
and then the fire department from Carroll came up to. It was scared of the mills.
How many miles or square miles are ready to burn? Couldn't put a figure on it. Was it because the woods were so dry?
That's right.
That's early in the spring.
Of course, we had fires after that, quite a few, but they had better equipment now to spray the woods.
They used the airspray to spray with
those.
Oh, yeah. They go over the lake and draw the water up from the lake and then they pour the fire.
Well, at that time, did Stauffer have some fire truck or fighting equipment?
No.
Well, it depends on the mill.
When the Stauffer Lumber Company was in business down here, they had hydrants all over town. Fire hydrants all over town.
Which is more than you have now.
Yes, right.
You have a bit now. I know the pipe that went across the river when we built the bridge that time. We were digging the foundation, we were running into one. There was a great big 8-inch pipe, cast iron pipe.
Do you remember when Stauffer started his fire department? Or bought your first truck? Quite a while.
Not too long ago. No. I would say 10 years.
Well, yes.
I don't think it's any more than 10 years.
Tell me about some of the stores and stuff I used to have in payday.
Well, the earlier stores was on Station Street and on Lake Street. And of course, the first stores was the Anderson brothers, Lewis and John.
There was a grocery store.
And they were together. And then Lewis went, Lewis and John went.
John went away, over here.
Yeah, John came over here and built the store down here. And Lewis stayed over there and started a hardware store. And then I guess he had groceries too. And Lewis started a store down there. And then up on Station Street, there was this Peter Faustin building there, and he had a pool room there for a while, and then Matt Klein had a men's clothing store, and upstairs was a restaurant. And at first, now that
Sam Coates was in that school.
Yeah, but that was Sam Coates. He was what had the restaurant. But before the restaurant, it was a hall where they used to have not silent movies, but just show slides. I can remember going there when I was a little girl, and it was just slides. We went there, and they played the piano and sang, you know. Then one time they advertised that they were going to have a movie picture. And of course, that was the feature of the night. So they had a big crowd that night, and the movie picture was a side of beat hanging in a window, a store window. And it just swung back and forth for about 5 minutes, and that was my first movie picture. And of course all these shows, you know, the visit to mill towns, they would come here. I remember the glass blowers came here. And then one year there was a big tent show came here, and they had a tent right down below with Anderson's store there. And they had a merry-go-round. And
do you ever have what they used to call a Chautauqua?
Yes. We had the Chautauqua came here for a few years.
Do you remember what that was like?
Well, yes, there was a dispute down here. They had their tent. They put a tent up here. And they had it down the field here. And they had just music. It was nice music. And that was the first time that I ever saw anyone play on the saw. You know how they got you play on these saws, you know? I can remember that. And it was very good.
Did they draw a large crowd?
Yes, yes, they did.
Now, something traveling around like that was a very expensive year, remember? I know you had movies here.
Yes.
And twice a week?
Well, the first movies we had here was these fellows from Prescott came up here. Lone and Schultz. They came up here and had movie pictures. And they had them up over, there was a hall that belonged to the company, and the company store was in it down there. You don't remember that?
No, I don't.
Right down, just above the mill down there, was this building. And they had their grocery store down below, and they had the...
That was more or less the company store, anyway.
No, it was the company store. And then upstairs, they had the movie picture hall. And they used to have dances there, too.
And I remember them places. We used to go to
dance.
They were
all
back
and forth. And the floor was right up and down, just like that, you know. And then afterwards, I guess, Albert Clinton, was that his name? Was it Albert?
Okay.
He took the movie pictures. So. And then Paul Sear on it for a while. And then the mill company, after the mill went out of here, after the Stockholm Lumber Company went out of here, they bought the Stockholm Lumber Company store over
there. What else did you do for entertainment back, say, when your children were small, when you yourselves were growing up?
That's what all it was in Stockholm, was the movies and the dances.
Had a lot of
dancing. Yes, they danced over every Saturday night. When they weren't dancing there, they were dancing over in the boarding house. There was two McPhee brothers, and they were real musical, you know. They played the mandolin and the banjo, and the crowd would come over there, and they'd push the dining room tables back, and dance.
When you had a dance, a public dance, did you have an orchestra?
Oh, no, just the McPhee boys.
What they played for instruments, or
mandolin and banjo, wasn't it?
They were good.
They were really good.
But dance music, in them days. With them days we danced, nowadays don't dance no more. They walk around and jump on them things. In them days we danced.
You were, Roger, you were telling about that, I think it was in our Station Street where they were dancing. Tell about that, will you?
Well, the first year that this Peter Carlson started his store over here, he didn't get it finished. He just got the floor laid. And so the McGuire's, they had a boarding house up here on the hill, and they had an organ, a small organ. And they had four daughters, and of course the boys liked the McGuire girls. And so in the summer evenings, they'd carry that organ down and put it on the platform down there, and they would dance, and Matt McGuire, she could play the organ, but the boys, they had to stand beside her and fan her with a keep black flies away. You
know. I don't know, did we finish on the store? She said there was one clothing store, that was...
Yes, that was... Yes, that was Matt Klein and Alfred Peace. And then later on, when they built this new Odd Fellows Hall down here, Irvin Howe had a clothing store there, on one end of it.
In the bowling alley in the bottom.
In the bowling alley downstairs. And then, of course, Albert had his...
That's where we had the real dance before there.
Yes, that was
the hall. Nice hall.
Yeah, I remember that. It's one store is off it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it because it wasn't being used?
The roof had all gone on it, and it was in repair.
No dances now? What do the young people do now?
Well, the young people now, you see, have cars, and they can go almost anywhere. In those days, we didn't have those things to do with. Mm-hmm.
Well, But we
stayed
all,
in Stockholm.
We all stayed together.
Now we're here everywhere.
We either walked or was somebody?
No, we had cars after a while, but we didn't go too far.
Yeah. Do you remember, George, the first car you ever had?
Yes.
What was it?
Overland.
What?
1970. We paid $420 for it, and it was all licensed and everything.
And they hauled in one load of tares,
huh?
One load of tares paid for that car.
The tares was $12 a barrel then. 1970, the war, the First World War.
How long did you keep the car?
Well, I kept them here. It was 22, I guess.
Yes, you had it after you came back to service. You didn't have to remember it, did
you? No, I had it.
Do you remember the first car in Stockholm, or the first car that you remember?
Mama,
I don't remember that. Yes, I remember it. It belonged to Carl Milliken. You know Carl Milliken was governor of the state? Mm-hmm. Well, his uncle was Mel Milliken. He was sort of the supervisor for the mill down there. He bought it from him. And Wallace Fuller was his chauffeur. And it was a great big arc. And it had seven passengers, those little seats, you know, on the side. And I think perhaps I remember that the first car in Stockholm.
What kind of car was that?
I had no. I knew it was a real.
I don't know.
It was a real, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't a gasoline car.